Welcome to the University of California San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast, featuring Dr. Neera Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdowne, discussing hot topics in sports medicine and society. We hope you enjoy our podcast and look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Neera Pandya, and today I'll be talking about the adult health implications of sport specialization. The goals of this talk will be to, number one, understand the data in regards to the long-term implications of sports specialization. I think that's important. Many of us now understand what sort of the short-term and sometimes even the mid-term risks are, but I think it's important to understand the long-term implications. And most importantly, I think this is important for patients and families and coaches and athletes themselves to analyze the effects of sports specialization on professional sports. So one of the things we know very clearly in the literature, we've established that playing a single sport is associated with increased injury risk. And there have been multiple studies that have demonstrated that. Deciding to play one sport year-round increases your risk, number one, of burnout, but also increases your risk of injury, whether that be meniscus cartilage injury, whether it means ligamentous injury, just kind of any type of injury in general, and time off is increased with the risk of sport specialization. But I think a lot of people will ask, is sport specialization actually necessary to achieve elite athletic performance? Is it a necessary evil that you potentially need to do in order to get to the next level? And if you're lucky enough not to get injured, can you make it? I think it's important to understand this data because it's not necessary to achieve elite athletic performance. And I think it's important for parents, coaches, and athletes, and everyone who is involved in youth sports to understand that. I think it's also important to understand what are the long-term adult health implications, because we're thinking about short-term injury risk, but it also can have long-term injury risk. And in general, is it really worth the risk? And I say no, and we'll kind of go over some of that data today. So let's kind of break this down and first talk about how does sport specialization impact short-term athletic performance? And I think it's important to look at the data that's out there in order to understand this. Now, there's this great study done by Abernathy years ago that it found that diverse sport training in early and middle adolescence may better foster elite athletic potential because you're able to more positively transfer skills. And what this means is that if you're swimming during one season and playing soccer during another season than playing basketball, the individual physical skills you learn from each sport will help you transfer those skills. So the example that I utilize is a lot of NFL quarterbacks have played baseball while they were growing up, particularly in high school. And those skills that you learn while playing baseball that make you a more effective quarterback or vice versa. Now, looking at actually defined data, there was a study done by Franson where he looked at 735 boys aged between 10 and 12 years and found that those who spent many hours in various sports actually performed better on broad jump and gross motor coordination skills than those who specialize in a single sport. So once again, looking at those basic athletic skills that you developed, if you played multiple sports, you actually were better at some of those core things, things that we looked at in PE class in terms of presidential fitness exams that will then transfer into other sport skills. Now, the other thing you want to look at is we really want to keep our kids engaged and active in sport. And what's really the impact of sports specialization on dropping out of sport? And there's a study by Gulich when he looked at athletic performance in Germany. He found that the younger the age of athletes into specialized training programs, having a kid start doing gymnastics at age 7 or just doing soccer at age 8, the earlier they left sport. So if our overall goal is to keep kids healthy and active and enjoy the benefits of sports into their adult years, it's important to prevent them from specializing at a young age so they have a longer athletic career, not just simply so that they can achieve success, but so they can enjoy sports. And as we mentioned before, we've talked about injury risk, but once again, here's another study that demonstrates how access to specialization in club sports specifically impacts your short-term injury risk. And there's a study by Holt and found that children who are of a higher socioeconomic status, meaning they had more money to be able to play club sports, enter this youth sports complex, were more likely to have overuse injuries because they had less unstructured free time. So once again, the impacts of having access to this club sport specialized culture directly linked to injury risk. And some people say, well, how does this necessarily impact us? We know what it impacts us based on this data, kind of the middle school, early school levels, but what does it do in terms of those who are at the collegiate level? And there's a study done at UCLA by DeFiore where they examined their Division I athletes and found that 88% of them had participated in 2 to 3 sports as a child, with the vast majority, around 70% of them, not specializing until the age of 12. In addition, the average age with these collegiate athletes specialize was around 50.4 years of age, as opposed to the non-collegiate athletes who specialize around 14 years of age. So once again, when you look at the most successful athletes, they were specializing later than those who didn't make it to the next level. Once again, it's showing the impact of specialization and avoiding it on sports performance. When we look at Division I collegiate athletes in the study that was done at Columbia University, we found the mean age of specialization was 14.9 years, and they found that early sports specialization was extremely uncommon among NCAA athletes for most team sports. There's this misconception that early sports specialization is necessary or common among most team-focused collegiate-level athletes. So once again, it's all about participating in multiple sports so that you can get to that next level as opposed to specializing because you feel like that's going to get you at a spot on a team-based sport at the NCAA level. The study has also been reproduced out of the researchers at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, where they looked at about 3,000 athletes. And they found that high school athletes, those who stopped playing sports in high school, had specialized at around age 12. And those who played collegiate or professionally actually specialized didn't start to specialize until age 14. Once again, showing that for in terms of athletic longevity and success is tied with playing multiple sports for a longer period of time. And this has also been shown in hockey players as well too. So then the next level is then how does sports specialization impact midterm athletic performance? So we kind of know the short-term impact both in terms of injury risk and what it means for college, but what does it potentially mean at the midterm level, particularly in terms of professional sports data? And I think this is important because we'll have some parents who'll come into clinic and say, I'm willing to take the risk for my child to have them specialize if it's the only pathway to professional sports. So they'll say, I understand the risk in terms of high school, I understand the risk collegiately, but I still want to be that less than 1% to make it to that professional level, and I'm willing to take the risk. And I think if you understand the professional data, you'll realize that you don't have to take that risk. And in fact, you're actually placing yourself in a worse position if you look at professional sports data very critically. So as I mentioned before, we know that single sport specialization increases injury risk. And from the most basic standpoint, you can't become a professional athlete unless you're healthy and on the field. So not even looking at performance data or who actually makes it to the professional level and what they did in terms of multiple sports, because there's such a significant injury risk with sports specialization, perhaps the best way you can actually keep yourself healthy on the field is to play multiple sports. If you're at that third ACL tear by age 14 because you've been specializing, your chance of making it professionally is very, very low. But by playing multiple sports, you increase your chance of being healthy and then potentially having the opportunity to make it professionally if that's what you choose. So let's look critically at the professional sports data. So there's a study that myself and Dr. Brian Feely did looking at NBA first round draft picks and what that meant in terms of injury and athletic performance. And we looked at NBA first round draft picks. We found that multi-sport athletes participated in more games, experienced fewer major injuries, and had longer careers than those who participated in a single sport. We look at the NFL Combine from 2015 to 2018. We found that 88% of people who were invited to the NFL Combine actually played multiple sports. And there have actually been studies that have actually looked at draft picks as well, too. And the vast majority of them played multiple sports. If you look at Major League Baseball, we look at the other major sport, and we look at early sports specialization. There was this great study done at WellSpan Sports Medicine Institute, and they found that there was a statistically significant higher rate of serious injury during a baseball player's professional career in those who specialized early. And when they actually surveyed those professional baseball players, they believed that sports specialization was not required prior to high school to master the skills needed to play at the professional level. So the very people who are at the major league level are saying, number one, you don't need to specialize. And number two, when you look at the data, actually those who specialize had were more likely to incur a serious injury during their career. And what, in fact, if you look specifically at Major League Baseball, what specialization has done, because baseball is one of those sports that has had a high rate of specialization, it's not necessarily improving performance, but what it's doing is pushing back when players peak. So someone specializes and they basically have all this wear and tear on them. And yeah, maybe they'll have a great successful career when they start at 18, 19, and 20, but all it's done is simply shifted back when these athletes will peak rather than leading to successful, more long-lasting careers, particularly amongst those who are specialized. And even when you look at individual sports, such as track and field, I mentioned ice hockey before, excelling at that junior youth level, specializing doesn't translate then for later success. So once again, even single sport athletes in individual sports like track and field don't necessarily have that success. It's important to do multiple sports, even in an individual sport setting, to improve your potential success. And if we think about it critically, we would have to think, well, does sports specialization, has it actually improved athletic performance in general? And if you look at the metrics of things, particularly in the Olympics, you've seen that actual human performance hasn't improved in the sports specialization era. And I look at kind of pre-2000, which is the pre-specialization era, and post-2000, which is the post-specialization era. If you look at the 100 meters, which is, you know, something that we all kind of understand, the time was 9.79 pre-2000, post-2000, 9.58. And if you throw out Usain Bolt, actually the 100 meter time hasn't got much different. You look at the mile, 3:43, it stayed the same pre-2000, post-2000. You look at the marathon, there's been about a 4-minute drop. But if you really look at that, a lot of that has been linked to shoe wear. The long jump world record hasn't changed since Bob Beamon did it several decades ago, still 29 feet. Home runs pre-2000, post-2000 have stayed around 70. And obviously that's a little bit, there's some issues in terms of the steroid era, but once again, you haven't seen a change in performance. And same thing with strikeouts. So once again, if you look at the actual markers of human performance as best you can quantify it, specialization hasn't changed how people are performing. We do know for sure that it's actually led to more injury and burnout. So I think when we look critically at the professional data, what we've learned is sports specialization is not required for athletic performance. Peak performance may be occurring earlier, but actual athletic performance is not simply improving. And finally, I think we have to look at how does sports specialization impact long-term health? And we know that from sports specialization data that over by age 13, over 70% of kids will drop out of youth sports. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fact that if you're getting kids dropping out on one hand, and then you've got another group of kids who don't have access to daily physical education activity due to the fact that school sports are de-emphasized, and only 29% of high school students have daily PE, you've basically created this group of students who are burning out from playing a single sport who don't want to be active. And then kids who may not be burning out and only their only access point is school, they don't have daily physical education classes. As a result, we have a whole group of high school students who are not extremely physically active. And you can see the data, based on gender as well as race as well too, is that we have a group of students who are not having access to physical activity because they're burning out or because they don't have those options in terms of a school-based setting. And as a result, what we're seeing is increased projected rates of obesity. So we could say sports culture is based on specialization. It seems like kids are being super active, but where are the 11, 12, and 13-year-olds when they're 17 or 18? They're not playing sports anymore, or because of sports specialization, because kids don't have access to recreational or to financially viable options, they're not able to play. So we're seeing increased rates of obesity. And if we actually look at the data, childhood obesity has more than doubled in children and quadrupled in adolescents in the past 30 years. The percentage of children aged 6 to 11 years in the U.S. who are obese has increased from 7% in 1980 to nearly 18% when you look at the data from 2012. And that number has continued to increase over a period of time. And as a result, we've seen increased incidence of type 2 diabetes in our adults. We're seeing an increased incidence of heart disease. And essentially, we're creating a generation of children with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease because they either drop out at sport at age 13 or they have barriers to participation because they can't afford club sports. So I think in general, what we should be emphasizing to kids is have them be active and play, whether that means playing out in the front yard, whether that means having a pickup game of basketball, just in some way, making sure we're encouraging them to be active and let the sports, what they ever want to do in terms of their intensity level, or if they're going to go on collegiately, professionally, take care of itself kind of more organically, rather trying to force it through specialization. And in fact, a lot of people ask, well, what's the best thing that kids can do when they're young? It's the playground. In terms of playing at the playground, going down a slide, jumping across various barriers, et cetera. You're working on core strength, learning how to fall. I think this is probably the best thing we can do for kids is have them play at the playground rather than trying to get them in a class at age 3 that teaches them how to kick a soccer ball or throw a softball. And I think what we also need to look at is that we talk about injury risk and sports specialization, and we really don't know the impact of what's going to happen with those 12, 13, 14-year-olds who are getting ACL surgery or getting cartilage surgery. What does it mean for them 30, 40 years down the road? Is that going to mean an increased burden of arthritis and dysfunction over time that these individuals are going to need knee replacements, et cetera, at age 50 and 60, simply because they're tearing up their knees at such a younger age? So just the impact in terms of arthritis and lack of mobility may be very significant as this population ages. So in terms of the top 10 things that you need to think about when you're thinking about the adult implications of sports specialization, understand that youth sports injuries are at an epidemic level. Single sport specialization, as we mentioned extensively, is linked with injury risk. Short-term athletic performance improves with multi-sport specialization. Mid-term athletic performance improves with multi-sport specialization. But single sport specialization is not necessary for elite performance. The metrics simply aren't changing. Human performance isn't getting better. Single sport specialization leads to sports dropout. And the problem is that there are minimal other avenues for sports for these kids. They're not getting it at school. They can't afford a club. So where else are they going to play? It's time for us to change that culture. And as a result of sport dropout, our injury risk, obesity, diabetes, and coronary artery disease are on the rise. Those who continue to play have increased risk of arthritis due to the fact they're getting injured and they're having all these surgeries. And I think it's really important time to change the culture so it can lead to a long-term benefit in terms of our people, in terms of them being healthy, active adults. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the University of California, San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast featuring Dr. Neera Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdowne. We look forward to hearing your feedback and hope you look forward to our next episode. Thank you.